Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let's stay standing. It's a real honour to have Steve with us this morning. And Steve leads a church up in Wolverhampton, All Nations. And Steve has such a heart and a passion to know Jesus and to be that close to him. Do you know what I mean? So it's like as close as you can be. And travels quite a lot throughout the world, preaching a lot to leadership and in lots of different settings. And we're just kind of developing a friendship relationship over the last couple of years. And it's great to have him here with us this morning. And also he has brought Stuart with him this morning. Just give Stuart a wave. Welcome him, shall we? Brilliant. It's great to have you here as well, mate. But let's welcome Steve as he comes to bring the word. Come on, let's really honour him, honour the word and what God's going to do. Cheers, guys.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You may be seated. Hasn't that been an awesome morning so far? I'm like, well, we could have just carried on. I'm not too fussed at hearing my own voice. If the Holy Spirit's moving, let's go. I have a friend and he said, well, he's not my friend, but I'd like him to be my friend. I listen to him, so I think he's my friend, but he's never met me. I've only ever heard him on sermons. But he says, I think he quoted a Yonggi Cho. That Yonggi Cho says every time he's starting a day or ministry or whatever, let's go, Holy Ghost. And he's got this sort of wild, let's go, Holy Ghost. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is moving in these days. And I pray that we will not be static, but we would run and move with him. I'm extremely honoured and excited to be here with you this morning and yesterday. I feel like any time I get to go and do anything for Jesus, it's more for me than anybody else. I feel like he's doing so much in my own heart and life. I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old, but I feel like I'm just beginning. I feel there is so much to know about Jesus and intimately knowing him. I don't want to know stories about him. I want to know him. I don't want to just read about him. I want to get right inside his heart. I want to feel it beating. I want to beat in time with his heartbeat. I want to catch the rhythm of his movement and his steps in this world and move with him. And sometimes I feel a little bit like I think I know more about him than know him. Anybody know what I mean? Because I hear so much and read so much. And I think, God, I know I've read a lot and seen a lot and... but I want you intimately inside of me. I want your voice clearer. I want you to think to me that you don't even have to speak. You start. You know when I've been married now for quite a while, not a really long time, but coming up to 14 years, and we can be in the same room with a room full of people, and something happens, and I look at my wife, and we know what each other are thinking. I want to be like that with Jesus. I just want to be somewhere and I see something and I know what he's thinking. That person should not stay sick, son. You should just go and heal them right now. That person in pain needs me. Go. And I want to think like him, with him. And I feel the Lord's, he's taking his church back. He's been the forgotten man of the gospel and he's coming back to take possession of that which is rightfully his. And I said yesterday, he's not our mascot. He's our monarch. He's our king. And he's coming to rule again. And he's going to invade everything that we do. And those things that we've been doing that aren't him, they're just going to fall by the way. And, we do far more. You can do far more by accident when Jesus is there than you can do on purpose when he's not around. And we've tried for so long in our churches with all of our clever ideas and all this stuff that we do. And we get it all figured out. And he says, if you just let all of that go and just find me, you will find yourself doing 100 times more than you could ever do with your clever thinking, clever programs, clever ideas. You know, the early church, I don't think they had any strategies. I don't know. But I read it. They just had the Holy Ghost. And I sometimes even ask myself, Holy Spirit, have I really got the baptism in the Holy Spirit like I read about in Acts? I don't know. I know he lives in me. I'm standing up here now and you're thinking, is he really saved? He's saying he'd like to know Jesus and he'd like to be full of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Clive, who have you invited? But do you ever do that? Do you ever read the book of Acts and think, I don't know him like that. I've never been translated in the spirit. My shadow's never healed anybody. We pray in our church and our building doesn't shake. And yet these seem like normal occurrences every single day. There's no strategic plan, just wildfire. I'm not against strategic plans, but I'd rather have a load of wildfire just mess up our whole lives. I felt for your worship as we were worshiping this morning. You're going to have to, it was awesome, loved it. But I feel the Lord wants to take you off the beaten track. And I had a picture of, if you ever go hiking, and when you're on the trail that others have gone through, it's okay. You can turn your head off, stick to the trail, keep your head down a little bit and just keep walking. If you leave the trail, you're going to be really aware of everything around you. You're navigating your feet into new areas. You're making sure you don't put your foot into a hole or slip on an unlevel path or ground. And you're far more aware of your surroundings because you're having to navigate new territory that has not been navigated before. And I feel in your worship and discovering him and in the spirit realm, there's going to have to come a new navigation. I felt it at one moment. So even the moment you started, the anointing was so strong, but then we're used to going into a song. But actually, you could live without a song for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and it's okay. But if you're not a worshiper, you're waiting for the song. If you're a worshiper, you don't need a song. You just, we're in and we're ready and we go with what God has. And I think we need to give ourselves permission as worship leaders that we don't need to go into the safety of our songs. Or even after we've had a time without a chorus that we've written and we're worshiping, then we have a beaten road that we get back on. It may still be a little bit prophetic and there's still the sense of God's presence there. But actually, there's something inside of your hearts as worshippers and you'll discover it worshipping in private. You'll discover it in the secret place on your own. And then sometimes you'll be standing here and all of a sudden it'll be that same path that you begin to take that's not quite beaten yet, never been discovered. And you know, it's available for every worshiper. We're all worshippers. I think it's amazing that David had 24/7 worship for 33 years under the old covenant. Come on. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 4,000 worshippers. And they were trailing a path, blazing a trail that nobody had ever walked before. It's where our psalms came from. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living. What? They were there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Old ones teaching new ones the new ways. They had to craft their own instruments. And it was just, it's a representation of what's coming today and what has already begun in the earth today. And Jesus said, it's no longer going to be in Jerusalem or Samaria. Actually, but I'm going to raise up worshippers. You're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. And as they worship, I'm going to invade. And I'm going to come and live inside of them. And they're going to permeate the fragrance of my presence wherever they go. Bringing revival in schools and colleges and workplaces. In Asda's and Tesco's and in the bank. But you're going to have to leave the beaten road, the beaten path, to be able to walk into that which God has. I was going to try and sell you some merchandise, but I just can't get to it, so I'm going to give it back to Stuart. It's all out there. If any of it helps you, have a look at it. There's some stuff on marriage and some stuff on the kingdom of God and how we can break that veil of the kingdom and pull it into this realm. That's what we're living in right now, and that veil is thin in these days. It's extremely thin. Could feel it this morning. And those moments we were getting so, so, so close and we were in. But then we have a habit because every church, every group of people knows what their beaten road is. Does that make sense? To leave that beaten road is really risky because it's areas we haven't been there before. What will they say? What will they do? Some of you musicians, guitarists and trumpeters and all, we play even prophetically within the comfort zones of what we're used to doing. Yeah. And we all feel, that's wonderful, we're used to that. But God says, I'm going to mess the whole thing up. Yeah. I could see you all just messed up here and it's not you trying to copy anybody else. It's actually the journeys you make in private that as you come together corporately, they intensify. And one burning heart joins with another burning heart, joins with another few hundred burning hearts. And we move with the Holy Spirit into new realms that we never even knew existed. Hallelujah. I want to preach a nice sermon to you. I thought I had one this morning. And I was quite happy about it. And I can't get to it right now. What wonderful days we live in. I believe my job this morning is to put hope in your heart. I felt the Lord say, you do not believe. Steve, you cannot see the days in which you live. These are awesome. That veil is so thin right now. And it's thin because of all the praying and the seeking and the fasting and the longing and the plowing through years of barrenness at times as though they're not barren and we keep going anyway. Years of prayer and seeking God and faithful living. And I believe that there's a thinness in the veil right now. So don't grow weary right now. These are the days you've been longing for. These are the days that people have prayed for centuries. And we're in them right now. I know there were 1904, 1906, Welsh Revival, Azusa Street Revival. I know there were awesome times. I know there were some great moves of God in the 60s and 70s. But I tell you what we are on the, what has begun. I can't even say what we are on the cusp of, but what has begun in our land and in our planet is unprecedented, what this world has never seen before. And I've come to say, lift up your vision, lift up your eyes. Be aware of the days that we live in. I could give you a prophetic perspective, and I was going to give you some of the negative and then the positive, but I can't even focus on the negative. I feel like I know that Islam is trying to advance. I know that much of the church has been bound in the spirit of mammon. And, you know, we've loved stuff more than we love God, that his blessings have become our idols. And I know that stuff, but I just feel like it's just going to wash away and Jesus is going to come and he's going to be enthroned on the heart, the thrones of our heart. And it's going to be far more about an experiential religion than a doctrine. I just sense it, you know, just a release this morning of dreams, of visions, of angelic visitations, of just the, we were driving here, and just driving, I said, Stuart, please just pull over. We were praying in the car and his presence was so strong. I said, I don't want to get there yet. Just pull over. Let's let this song finish. And we just sat there just, and I felt his presence so weighty and his glory filling the car. And I'm like, I'm feeling God saying, I want you to learn to be able to get that without a song, without your quiet time. Not that we don't have quiet times, but not necessarily in your quiet time place. Not in church, but you could just be walking down the road. And as you're walking along, you feel his weighty glory coming. And you have the ability to keep your eyes open. And as your eyes are open, your heart opens and you just start drinking and drinking. And the outflow will be the miracles that start flowing out from your life to those around you. Words of wisdom and knowledge that you'll be able to give to people. I tell you, this is happening in our world right now. The signs and wonders happening on the earth right now are just exciting me. And I'm like, God, I feel like I'm being left behind. There is a passion in you. I'm hearing of 13, 14-year-olds who are fasting and praying and seeking God. You know, putting themselves on 6-7 month fasts, Daniel fasts. No meats, no sweets, no desserts. But they're crying out to God to come in revival in their school or in their... And I'm thinking, God, I feel like I'm slacking. I need you. I want that hunger and that passion like these guys have. I hear about a movement. Like I was reading about it last night again. Somebody gave me this book, and it's a movement called Burn 24. And they just go into nations, and as they go into a nation, they will just go in for 24 hours, 72 hours, have different teams that just, they just prophetically worship and prophesy and declare over an area and call down God's presence. And one of these teams had just been sent to Uganda. They're going to go to Uganda. And the guy that leads it said, Sean, he said, do you know what I've done? I've booked I think it was a 14-hour layover in Amsterdam on the way back. And they were like, no, it's November, it's cold. It was a couple of years ago. It's November, it's cold. We don't want to stop in Amsterdam for 14 hours. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to go into the red light area, take your guitars with you, and after you finish in Uganda, find just wherever God leads you, set up and just prophesy, worship, call down the presence of God. And so they did. They said, there we are with our flip-flops and shorts, having come from Uganda in freezing cold, walk out into carrying our guitars. We find the biggest brothel we can find, set up outside on the corner, start playing our guitars, worshiping God, calling down His presence because that veil is thin. And they said, we didn't feel anything, sense anything, 3 hours, I think, just worshiping, praying, prophesying, declaring over an area, declaring for it to be shut down. They got home. So I'll read it to you. And what happened? So they never felt anything on that day, but they get home and they start to, I'll just tell you what happened. They're watching the news, and as they're watching the news, they see on the news that the Dutch government had shut down one of the biggest brothels in Holland, in Amsterdam, which is rare because it's legal. And they'd shut it down because there was children that had been trafficked from other nations, from the Middle East, from Asia, and they'd been brought in, and they'd shut this down. And when they showed a photo of it, it was the very same brothel that they'd set themselves up outside of, started prophesying and declaring. I want to tell you, and it happened like 3 days, 2 days after they'd been there. And I want to say to you, I tell you, there is such a, you live in that sense where you draw His presence, you live in that realm, and you start declaring things over Horsham, you start declaring things over the UK. We pray this all the time. Father, we pray for the dream life of our city right now. I pray that it becomes sanctified. Visions and visitations. Lord, reveal Yourself. I pray that people won't have nightmares, but they'd have stories about the cross and about Christ and about their future. They'd see who You've created them to be. And I believe we're going to start seeing testimonies, people coming in. We got one guy who was a Sikh and he was worshipping in his front room and it was doing some idol worship. And through the window, just two angels came through the front of his windows. That's about 4 years ago. And they just started to, they said to him, you need to go to Patrice's house. He lives here and you need to go to his house at this time on this day. And when he went there, the man who was a Christian, Indian, same background, and they were having a cell group meeting, home group meeting, and they led him to the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? In Wolverhampton, I'm like, God, come on. We want to draw on Your presence to come. And so I've come to try and bring some hope to you this morning. And the word that I had in my heart was that God's raising up champions in these days. He's raising up champions. Men, women, children who will champion the cause of Christ. And they will live with strong hearts, strong voices into what God has for them. Let me read you a few Psalms. I felt just to read a few scriptures, then I'll move into that subject. Just lift up your hands. Father, would You do that in us? Create a hunger in us. Help us to leave the beaten paths of what we are used to and our own desires and just comfort zones and take us into new areas. Take us into new realms, oh God. I pray that You'd restore the adventurous spirit to us. I pray that You restore that pioneering heart. Lord, many of us, even this movement was birthed in pioneering new ways. And I thank You that there are new ways still to pioneer without forgetting our inheritance and without losing who we are. There are still new territories to take. There are still new paths to discover. And I pray that You'd help this movement, this church, these people to discover the pioneering spirit again and move into the fullness of what You have for them. Pray that You restore their risk-taking to a level that they've not known, maybe for a few decades, oh God. And I pray that You make them wild, Holy Ghost, radical men and women that burn with the fire of heaven. Lord Jesus, we long for Your presence. Holy Spirit, we want You to become our best friend. We want to know You intimately. You're leading intimately. We want to see Your manifestation in our lives, in our families, in our children. Lord, we don't want to live like mere men. We want to live like believers, Christians, people full of the presence of God. And I pray that You would help us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Psalm 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Do you want to be radiant? You look to Him. Daily, you behold Him and you become like that which you behold. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I tell you, we have lived with shame and an orphan spirit in the church for too long. We're going to know that our God is good. Our Father is good and he loves us. And every lying spirit, every demonic spirit, insecurity and fear and anxiety and depressions, they're from the pit of hell. When you look to him, you know it's going to be a good day. Not because of your circumstances. Peace does not come from peaceful circumstances. Peace comes as you live in fellowship with the Prince of Peace. I love that. Because he lives inside of me, I have peace. Because he lives inside of me, I have hope. This poor man called out and the Lord heard him, saved him out of his troubles, all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Thank you for your angels. Thank you for your angels, Lord. Their activity increased in our days. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's us. Amen. Here it says, verse 8, taste, taste, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see, taste and see, taste and see. Don't listen to anybody else's opinion. You taste and you see. You don't need somebody else to convince you. You taste and you see. I'm learning more and more. My arguments won't win anybody. My trying to convince them won't. I say, you test him for yourself. You taste him for yourself. You call on him yourself. He'll answer you. You get alone and ask him if he's real. He'll come show himself to you. He doesn't need our defense. He can defend himself pretty well. Amen. We need to allow him just to be him. And I love that. I love what I think it was Andrew said to Nathaniel. Nathaniel says, can anything good come from Nazareth? And he doesn't start arguing with him, going into apologetics. He simply says, come and see. Come and see. You come, you see, and you'll know. I don't need to argue. I know what I've seen. I know what I felt in his presence. I know he's the Messiah. But rather than convince you, you just come and see. You're going to know. I want to say to us, church, come on. How long has it been since you tasted, really tasted of Jesus? He says in John 6, you've got to eat me and drink of me. It sounds so offensive. And it was to the Jews in the day. And I tell you, you still need to do that today. Every single day you need to eat of him, taste of him. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Jesus said, I am the word. Isn't he the word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of the same chapter says, and the Word became flesh. And then he's saying in Matthew 4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Who's the Word? It's him. It's not just doing my devotions on a morning, on a dry rote of just daily routine. It is tasting of heavenly manna, eating and drinking of Jesus' blood and his flesh, and saying, I love being with you. I love feasting upon you. Your life to me. Your life to me, and I want that strength pulsating through every vein in my body. I lived for many years with that experience, knowing that he was real, having had an experience, and thinking that experiences were far and few between. When they came, we were thankful, but hey, we just know that God's good, and we're just going to live every day. Come on. And I'm realizing, actually, the whole life is supposed to be experiential. I read some quotes yesterday of George Muller, who built orphanages in the 1800s in Bristol. Pioneer, man ahead of his days. And his advice after like 34 years in ministry, his advice was, make yourself happy experientially in God every morning. Make yourself happy in God every morning. Make yourself happy in God. If you do your devotions and you're not happy, you've not met Jesus. I say there's a joy coming to the church. You're going to start laughing and people are going to... I've been pretty conservative, I think, as a Christian, but I'm starting to feel like some naughtiness coming. And I'm quite excited by it. I feel like I want to break some rules and I feel some wildness coming. I'm sitting in meetings and I've never been to Toronto, I've never been to any of those places, but I just feel like I want to laugh sometimes. And I tell you, if the Holy Spirit's in me and there's joy eternal, not dependent on my circumstances, I know... That joy in the Holy Ghost is my strength. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of me, what they say. I'm just on an adventure with Jesus. I'm not trying to build a ministry. I'm not trying to build a church. He'll build his own church. I'm just a lover of Jesus. And I'm just on a wild adventure, and I get to do a few things every day. And I'm just like, okay. I was during the worship, right at the beginning, the first 10, 15 minutes, I just say, God, I really don't care where I preach. I don't care if I preach this morning. I would really like to encounter you, though. I'd love for you to be here. I know my highest calling in life is to be a minister unto you. To minister to you. It's where I find my joy. It's the safest place to live. I'm the richest man alive when I have your presence inside of me. When I have the light of your face shining towards me, everything's okay. I may still have bills to pay and kids to look after and nappies to change, but I'm the happiest man alive, and I feel fulfilled. Why? Because the light of his face, his countenance shines on me. Is anybody hungry this morning? Yes. Or are you just really nice Christians? I don't want to be a nice Christian. I've been a nice Christian for most of my life. And I pray that God deliver us from niceness. We need some fireballs. We need some wild-eyed radicals. I read a poem sometimes and it says, if Christianity is simply about being nice, I'm not interested. What happened to wild, fiery Christians who turned the world upside down, who were considered dangerous by those in political power in the early centuries? And you never knew what they were going to do. You never knew how the Holy Spirit... Jesus said people full of the Spirit are like the wind. You don't know where they're going to go. You don't know which way they're going to... I'm a pastor of a church. That sounds a bit like, come on, just don't give them permission to do crazy stuff. But I'm like, I just think God's going to break in. And I've been saying it for a while, but I feel like I'm getting there. I'm saying I'd rather have some wildfire than no fire. I'll even take some of the extremes, God, and we'll correct people as long as we get you moving. Because anytime he's moved in history, there's been some wild stuff happen that had to be corrected. If you want to have a baby, but you don't want poo and sick and dirty nappies and woken up in the night, don't have a baby. I know couples that have chosen not to have children because they don't want the mess that comes with children. I think that's sad. The joy of having children far outweighs the disturbance of my lifestyle, my programs, getting to the fridge and finding they've already eaten everything. What I thought I was going to enjoy, I get there thinking, oh, okay, the kids have had it. Or I sit down to have my meal because mine are all young, and by the time I actually start my meal, it's cold. Because we're having fed two other ones, and sit down again, stop dropping that, leave your brother alone. And I'm like, oh. But I tell you, the joy of children far outweighs all of that. If we want a move of God, we're going to take some of the mess and the disturbance that's going to come with it. And we're going to say, okay, we'll get up in the middle of the night and do what needs to happen. We'll change the nappies, we'll deal with the sick, and we'll deal with a naughty behavior that we know isn't God. It's just them having a moment, but it's okay. But I'd rather have that life in my home. I love getting home with my kids. I haven't seen them yet. I got two videos this morning from my kids. They just filmed them. I just had a quick look and I didn't get to watch them all, but all of them are doing a dance. And the other one, the boys are singing a song. Esther told me this morning she'd heard them singing a chorus on 6:30 in the morning. They're singing a chorus on our bed, really loud. And she goes in and just takes a video. And I love that, thinking, I want to get home. And I know when the moment I walk through the door, if they're awake, I'll just get, you hear the running down the hallway. And the next thing, I've got a little one that jumps into my arms. Another one that grabs me around the legs. And I love that life. And I want that presence of God. I want to walk in and feel him overwhelming me. I want to see the miracles, and I want to know his comfort. I want to see the lost coming in. So if we deal with a bit of mess in the process of that, that's okay. We'll deal with it, and God will give us grace. And I think some of my fear over the years, because I'm a bit of a control freak, my fear of what might happen if we embrace some of these things has stopped me from seeing the fullness of them. But right now, I'm just saying, God, okay, whatever. I don't really care. Just, I'm hungry for you. Just come. Just move in our midst right now. I want to see the dead raised. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just tell Wigglesworth stories. I want Steve Upple stories. Amen. And they're coming. We're starting to see them in small little ones. They're happening. We've seen more healings in the last 7 months than I've seen in my whole life. And so they're starting. And we're like, okay, let's just keep pushing and pushing into what God has for us. Ah, oh, you look so pretty this morning. I tell you, I feel a little bit mischievous. I don't know what that means, but I do. Don't encourage me. I don't know what will happen. I love God. I really do. I really love Him. And I tell you, we need to fall in love with Him again. We need to let Him come and take His... We need the supremacy of Jesus. I'm serious. I've got about 10 notes that I'd put into a folder, and I knew which ones I was going to go through. And God... But I'm just talking to you. Is that okay? I'm just sharing with you. I think we are going to see, I would dare say, even in the next 12 months in our land, beginning, and it's going to be sustained. It's not going to be a visitation. If we would change and reorder our lives so that they will attract, and we talked about this yesterday, attract the Holy Spirit, and then there becomes a perpetual move that just grows. We won't have a visitation. I think we can have a habitation. And I don't know whether even said, but even till the day He comes, just it grows and it grows and it grows. There may be waves in there. Where he'll, at certain moments, there may be waves of the miraculous. At certain moments, there may come a soberness on the church for declaring things over a nation. Do you know, we haven't had power. We've prayed and we've not seen things change. Because we've had a form of godliness, not the power of it. But when we come into a true unity in the Spirit, and we stand up in a prayer meeting and we decree, Father, right now, in our city council, this changes. These laptop places, lap dancing, not laptop because they're okay. You can have a laptop, that's all right. But these sex clubs and stuff like that in our area, we just decree it. In Jesus' name, those spirits that have had rule here, we break their power. But you know, you can't pray that if 30% of the church is watching pornography. Because actually, by what you're doing privately, you've invited those spirits into your city. That's why some of the things that we've prayed have had no effect. Because you can pray them all you like, but what we do in private gives access to the enemy. Our gossip, our backbiting has allowed the enemy to come in. And the crime rates have been stronger. Division, what's manifested in violence in our streets has often had permission because of the division in the church. Does that make sense? But as we come into a spirit of unity, and then we stand as one man, and we say, Father, we believe it by Your Spirit, and we decree this right now, and you'll see those things change. And people will know there's a church that when they pray, you've heard the saying that Mary, Queen of Scots, was more afraid, she said this, I'm more afraid of the prayers of John Knox than I am of the armies of England and France put together. Come on. We need some governmental leaders that say, when that church prays, we know things happen. They can pray people in and out of power. They can pray governments in and governments out. We know we need to have their favor, what we do. I believe God's restoring that kind of power back to His church. But we've played games for so long. We haven't, I know we do our nice stuff and we'll say a few prophetic words and we all feel, oh, that was a lovely morning. But we go out and we don't really transform society. Because we've just survived at a level where we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, but we're not really breaking into that which God has for us and walking our governmental authority where we can decree things. But it's coming. And I'm giving you hope for it. It's coming. Our children will learn the power of it. And they'll pray for their schools and whole situations in schools will turn around and change. I've seen it, even my daughter and her friends and the school, in a matter of weeks, we just pray. She said, okay, Dad, I'm going to start praying about this situation. And she's seen her friends change, stuff change. And we're like, that's God, that is. That's God changing that. I'm trying to talk to you about champions coming, but they are coming. Come on. People who are going to champion the cause of Christ. They're going to live strong. Some of them are going to champion. There'll be causes in different people's hearts with different causes. Human trafficking, poverty, the gospel, the supernatural, whatever it might be. Social justice at this realm, revival, evangelism, citywide transformation. Different people will burn with different things, and it's not wrong to be different. You're going to burn how the Father created you. But as they come together, they'll form a movement, and you'll find champions. Some will, we will God starting this even with us, a whole movement championing purity. Yes. Say, hey, to our kids, why don't you wait till you're married? You don't even need to have boyfriends and girlfriends. And so don't be silly. I'm not being silly. We're just trying to protect our kids, their emotions, their hearts, their bodies, their spirits. And we're saying, could there be a whole movement? Because I was shocked that they could teach sex education to my 11-year-old and their teacher, and the only option about sex is safe sex, which is a lie. There is no such thing as safe sex unless it's within marriage with the person you're married to. Just thought I'd clarify that. But our children are being taught in school, as long as you use a condom, it's okay. If you put a condom on, everything's going to be fine. Hey, what about their emotions? What about when they're 14 years old and they're on their eighth boyfriend and they feel broken, hurt and damaged on the inside? They may not, or they may have, contracted a sexual disease, but they've got something far more rougher, harder, damaging than a physical. They got their heart damaged, their emotions damaged. Stuff, thank you for that word, that when they get into their married life, they've got so much baggage now to deal with. It's going to take some pastor, somebody, hours and hours of counseling to try and help them through that. So I sit and I talk to my daughters about these things. And they've made up their minds. We're going to stay pure till we're married. We're not even going to have boyfriends till we know we're ready to get married. Then we're going to ask God to bring the right person to us. Right? We've got a whole bunch of people rising in our church saying, could we go into schools and share that part of safe sex? Not that we condemn everything the world is doing, but we go in love and say, hey, there's an option to stay pure. Hallelujah. That's all we need to say. There's an option to stay pure. And you don't have to be embarrassed about it. You don't have to feel like you're prudish. It's okay. Because there are non-Christian kids out there that just need people to tell them, it's okay if you don't sleep around. But there are champions rising in schools who are going to champion these things. I can't stand the whole political correctness. It's gone mad. And these champions aren't going to care what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. We'll be rooted in love. We will not be bigoted. We're not better than anybody else, but we're going to say some stuff from God's word that's true, and that's going to help people live better lives. And I believe this morning what God wanted me to do was to come in and say, hey, there's some champions in this room. There's causes inside of you. There's stuff inside of you. And he wants it to start rising. He wants hope to come. He wants you to fall in love with him. He wants you to be whole yourself. Jeremiah, and I'm going to quote you in a minute from Jeremiah, but I felt the Lord say, these champions are going to have to walk the old paths. You're going to have to walk some of the old paths. Some of those paths are lonely. There's no, with all the joy and with all the wildness, there's some lonely ways to walk. I remember sitting just about 2 weeks ago with my daughter. She's 12 now, turned 12 just a week ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that. We're having a discussion about friendships. She goes, but Dad, if I do that, I'll have no friends. I said, I know. But if you can't find anybody who's on the same wavelength or that you can influence, but they're all influencing you, then you've got to decide, do I want to be like that? And she said to me, do you know what? It's probably better to have 7 years of no friends, but still live right for Jesus than have loads of friends and lose what I really believe in God. And I said, you're right. But I said, you know, the real truth is, you won't have 7 years of no friends. Amen. You will have friends. But it's good at 12 years old to consider, I'm willing to walk a path of loneliness, but do what's right. Because I want to live my life in the light of eternity. And our children are willing to pay a high price. If somebody would just call them up to hire, And if in our homes we live the gospel we say we believe. I tell you, we've got to talk to our kids. We've got to pray with our kids. We've got to lay hands on our kids. We've got to listen to our kids. We've got to prophesy over our kids. We've got to encourage them to prophesy. They don't get a mini Holy Spirit. Or a little version for you because you're five. No. The same Holy Spirit. We're not seeing it in manifestation yet, but it's coming. But I'm hearing about it all over the world. Five-year-olds, seven-year-olds, praying for people in their schools with broken limbs and this and that, and the healing manifesting through a child in school. To raise our expectation. And what I'm coming with is not rules and legalism for you. I'm coming with hope this morning, saying God is moving right now. As a move started, I'm just saying jump in. Jump in with everything that you have. Jump in. If you've lived depressed, let go of your depression. There's foul spirits. Don't agree with them. You know, you can get rid of those demonic spirits by simply saying, I'm not going to agree with you anymore. I'm going to agree with what the Heavenly Father says. I'm going to root myself in the goodness of God. My Father loves me. His plans are all good towards me. And you spirit that whispers these things to me, I will not listen to you anymore. I'm going to feed, you know, we have got to learn to anchor our affections in the Word of God and the eternal realm. You anchor your affections there, you become immovable, unshakable. That series on the kingdom, that's like 9 sessions just on that kind of stuff, how to anchor in that realm. Hallelujah. But it doesn't happen by accident. I can't lay hands on you and your affections are anchored. I've got to choose to turn the television off, pick up my Bible and anchor my affections there. I've got to choose when I feel a bit depressed or I feel it coming. So I just need 10 minutes, put myself in my room, shut the door and say, Rabba Kasiande, Holy Ghost, thank you that you're inside of me. I don't want to feel this way. I'm feeling a bit moody with my wife and agitated with my kids. I don't want to live like this. Thank you that your nature is inside of me and that's loving and it's gracious. Thank you that the peace of God wells up in me. Right now, just help me to do that, God. Forgive me for being a bit of a moody cow. Help me to get out there and just manifest your nature. Would you come right now? And that's all it takes. Often that's all it takes is one decision and a quick prayer and you go out and start loving your kids and it's like the Holy Spirit says, all I wanted was for you to agree with me and not agree with that spirit. Amen. Not to allow offense in. So Jeremiah 6:16 says, it says, when you stand at the crossroads and choose the old paths, walk in the old ways. I'll read it to you. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's go, Holy Ghost. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Some of you are going to do that this morning. You're going to stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. There's some ancient paths to walk in. These kids I'm hearing about that are fasting and praying and seeking God. It used to be when we fasted, it was like a big deal. Well, we started, you know, a few years ago doing some serious fasting. And now it's like everybody's fasting. Kids are fasting. There's ancient paths to walk in. And you're going to have to think about them, consider them, and walk in them. Isaiah 58 verse 12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, the broken down walls, repairer of streets with dwellings. You're going to repair streets that haven't been walked on, maybe for a century or two. You're going to repair them, walk on them. And when you do, this is what I felt the Lord said to me this morning when I was praying. When you do, the mantles of those who walked on them in the past will be given to you. Mantles of reformers and revivalists will be given to you. As you walk the ancient paths, some of those paths are littered with some debris. They're a bit overgrown because people haven't walked on them for a while. But as a generation starts to walk, there'll be a whole generation that follows. You start walking on those paths and God says, I'm going to give you the same power and the same anointings and the same mantles that reformers and revivalists walked in the past. If you want them, you've got to walk the way that they walked. And he's going to rebuild broken down ways. We've had a fascination in the church with the new, with human philosophy, We just need to get back to the Bible, the Word of God, and not be fascinated with some of this stuff. And Jesus said, we're going to have the wisdom to take the old and add the new. There's some new things that are good. There's a lot of old things that are very good. And a wise person takes these things into their storehouse and says, okay, it's not that we're sold out for one or the other. We see where the Spirit's moving. But I say to you this morning, there's some ancient paths to walk in that God wants you to walk in. I wanted to read you some poems and different stuff, but I'm not going to. Time's up. I don't feel like I've really preached a sermon, but I hope I've imparted some hunger and some hope into your heart this morning. If you want more of that, any of this stuff, most of it's just from this year, what we've been living in. Get it, listen to it, feast on it. It's not even about the information, it's catching the Spirit that's there. And you've got a great move of God already going on here. I suppose one of the prophetic words is move off the beaten road. Here's one scripture that is, I believe, a prophetic word for you. Okay, so I'm going to finish in a minute. Just 1 minute, is that okay? I hate it when people do that to me, and I vow never to do it, but I just did it. So, because he's hardly going to say no in front of all of you, but so I always think it's wrong to do that. But he did say, "Be free." So I'm free. Hey. Here's a word for you as a church. I really felt strongly. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13. See, the winter is past; the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Do you know what the Father says to you? Arise. Come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. That's a good word there. The winter is past. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. We're going to move in step with our lover right now. He's on the move. He's saying the season has changed. Rains and weeping. You know, that the weeping time is over. The rains are over. Flowers come right now. Cooing of doves heard in our land. And he's saying, come on, let's walk in this again. And he's talking to you as a lover. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. God's not mad at you. God loves you. He loves you. I always thought God was mad at me. He's not mad at me because I was raised in a home that was very authoritarian. If I did, I never did. But if I got 99% in a test, I never did. But if I did, the remark I would get would be, what happened to the 1%? So I was never good enough. And when I was walking with the Lord, I always thought he was the same. And I actually realized he's nothing like that. He looks at my puny little efforts and he says, I love you, boy. Come on. You did awesome this morning. Let's go again. And he just loves us and lavishes his love on us. He's not mad at us. He loves us. One more story. These are the two things that I felt prophetically to share that I'm doing and then I'm done. I could do loads, but this is it. Smith Wigglesworth is in New Zealand. And he's been on a tour preaching around. And this church leader, elder, I think, he hears that Wigglesworth had been in a room and that when he prays, people leave the room when he prays. Because the glory, the weighty glory is so strong. And he thinks, well, if on his tour of New Zealand he comes to our church and I ever have the privilege of praying in a room with him, I'm not going to leave. I don't care if it kills me, I'm not going to get up and go. So he, sure enough, 2 months later or something like that, he finds himself in a vestry praying before a meeting. There's 10 or 12 people. Wigglesworth is there. And somebody says, let's pray. And so they all start praying, one by one people pray. And then Wigglesworth stands up and starts to pray. And as he starts to pray, the presence of God comes. That veil, just the glory of God invades. And one by one, men start to leave the room. They can't take it. Weeping, shaking, they leave the room because of the weighty glory of God. We've not had that yet. And this man who's vowed to stay, sitting on his chair, and he's holding on to it, tears streaming down his face, shaking violently. and falls on the floor and then crawls out of that room. Couldn't stay because he felt like if he stayed any longer, he would physically die. And he says, I looked back and I saw Wigglesworth standing, praying to God in an atmosphere that few men can breathe in. How does he do that? Why? Because he'd been on a journey. He'd been purified and cleansed. He journeyed into that realm so many times. He lived in that realm. It manifested when he prayed. And that's why it manifested everywhere he went. It shows me it's possible. I want that. I believe in this generation, we're not going to just see one Wigglesworth or Coleman or John G. Lake. We are going to see multiplied thousands, hundreds of thousands of men, women and children released upon the earth, walking in that kind of power. And they won't be trying to build a ministry. They could raise a dead person, pray for them, move on and never tell a soul. Because it doesn't really matter. We don't have to get it up on TV. Or I'm up for testimonies, but I'm not trying to build my thing here. As soon as you start camping and building, the Holy Spirit often moves on. We just keep on. Jesus would do miracles and they said crowds would come and he's gone to the next town. What we would do today is build a revival meeting, take offerings, build a ministry, let the world know that God's on the move. And God says, hey, I want people who are trustworthy in their heart. And Wigglesworth was, only do want to. I think that weighty glory. They're standing talking in an atmosphere that few men can breathe in. I want that atmosphere. I want to live in that realm. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. And then I'll hand back over to Pastor Clive. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands. 60 seconds, whatever it is. Let's call on the Lord this morning. Weighty glory, God. Father, we've tried so many things. We've tried so many things. We've messed around with so much. We just need Jesus. We need you. We need a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. Earth shaking. Purifying. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, his first name is Holy. Help us. We want to be holy, pure. Holiness is not legalism. It's devotion out of relationship. Help us to see the beauty of that devotion, oh God. Father, I pray for this movement here this morning. I pray for a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit fire. Ignite a passion for Christ and for your presence like we've never known before. I pray that you would raise up wild-eyed radicals in this church, oh God. Raise up champions. I pray that this place would help turn the atmosphere in our nation, oh God. Lord, I thank you that I just sense that you're gonna do far more than you've ever done. You've got a great heritage to build on. And as you build on that and move forward, there's going to be a whole new influence come to you. And you're going to be instrumental in our nation. Not the only ones, but instrumental in our nation to help turn the tide, to help turn the atmosphere. And there's going to be a voice and a sound that comes from you that isn't necessarily sounding anywhere else. So don't be nervous to sound it. It may not sound popular right now, but it is the sound of heaven. And it'll become a cry of heaven and others will follow you. See, there's new sounds coming that people may be afraid to sound because they don't sound popular. But God says, let it sound, let it come. Let it come because it's a cry of heaven. And as it does, it'll even influence the church to wake up and to catch what you are doing. So, Father, help them. Help them, help them, help them. We're hungry for you this morning. In Jesus' name. I pray for us waves of glory this week. Wave after wave of glory this week. Wave after wave of glory this week to come. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had all day to pray with you. Do you know how to drink? Why don't you take a drink right now? Go and have a good old drink of the Holy Ghost. Breathe in his presence. Take the oxygen of heaven right now and let it burn inside of you. Taking off limitations. taking off all the expectations of man. I command every fear of man to be broken. Every fear of even Christian religion broken right now. You're going to be free, wild, wild, wild and free. There's going to be a Holy Ghost order in this house. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Father, Father, Father. We love you, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.